Tosfos asks a question, as we said yesterday. Our Gemara introduces a kulam. Normally, in halacha, you need two witnesses, especially with something that might be a davar sheva erva. Why, then, when it comes to bringing a get, are we seemingly validating the get based on the testimony of one witness, the shliach, who says, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav? So the Gemara says, the whole requirement anyway to have edus on the lishma of the get is only d'rabbanan, because midioraisa rov b'kinin. Midioraisa stam sefer d'dani mikmegamire. The only requirement is d'rabbanan, and the rabbanan wanted to be makil because of the possibility of aguda. So for that reason, the rabbanan wanted to be makil. Immediately the Gemara pounces. Is this really a kula? Are you really helping the woman? You're really causing her future problems. Because with one witness testifying, even if you allow her to get married based on one witness, that doesn't mean the get is good. It just means that you're willing to allow her to get married. And therefore, in the future, if the Baal issues an irur, which he certainly has the ability to do, so then the question, the validity of the get will once again be questionable, and the woman will be stuck. She'll be married, she'll have kids, and now we're reopening the question of, is the get kosher? Isn't it better to just require two witnesses from the beginning? Granted, that makes it more challenging for her to get married initially, but that way, once she gets married, she can rest easy that she's in the clear. There are not going to be any future questions about this get. That is the Gemara's question. And the Gemara responds and says, you're right, that would be a concern, but you misunderstood us. When we allow her to get married based on one aid, based on one witness, the shliach, that doesn't mean that she's getting married, but there's only one shliach, one aid, so the get's questionable. No, it means that we consider that one aid to be like two aid. And it's not questionable. The get is good. That's our Gemara. Ask us Tosfos. The Gemara in Yevamos also introduces to us a situation where Mishum Eguna Ikilu Barabana. What is that situation? That's the case of a woman whose husband has traveled to a far-off location and he has not returned. Now she doesn't know. Can I get remarried? Is my husband not alive anymore? Or maybe he was just taken captive. Maybe the reason he's not coming back is because he was taken captive. Maybe he is not coming back because he's running away. I don't know what happened to him. Can she get remarried? Seemingly a classic case of aguna. Says the Gemara in Yevamos, that mishum aguna ikilu barabanan, if there's one witness who witnessed the death, she's allowed to get remarried based on the testimony of that one witness. Why? Isn't it davar sheva erva? Don't we require two edim in halacha? Answers the Gemara, no, mitoch chumra shechamarta lea besofa ikilu alea betchilasa. Because of the severity of the situation. If she would get remarried and her husband would return, he would get out of captivity, he would return from his little vacation, she would have 13 kenosos issued against her. Her children would be mamzerim, she wouldn't get ksuba, all of the different things. She wouldn't be able to be married to either of them. Because of the severity and gravity of the situation, we allow the woman to get remarried based on one, because it's get married at your own risk. And as Rashi adds, Isha midday, and the Gemara itself quotes this later, Isha midayekes, which means that she's careful, uminsiba. What's minsiba mean? And then gets married. A woman is midayekes uminsiba. So therefore, Misha miguna, ikilu barabban, and we accept one witness. That's what the Gemara says. Asks Tosfos in our sugya, why didn't the Gemara pounce on that kula, just like it pounced on our kula? Over there also, it's a kula, which is going to be asili de chumra. If we would have required her to find two edim that saw her husband perish, then she can get remarried without any worries for the future. She's untouchable. She'd be able to get remarried and nothing could happen. Now that you allowed her to get married based on one aid, that one aid can one day be discredited. She doesn't have two edim, which in halacha clarify for us, right? We know it's the gold standard. It clarifies for us. It's mivarer. It's a birur. Two edim are mivarer for us. What happened? If two witnesses testify that her husband died, her husband died. And that's it. He's not alive. She can get remarried and rest easy. But one aid is not a biur in halacha. Even if the rabbanim say, okay, you can get married based on one aid. But one aid doesn't tell me what happened. It just is a heter to get remarried. But it doesn't tell me what happened. So this is a kula, which will be asi lidei chumra. That's what the Gemara should have asked. It asked it in Gittin. Why didn't it ask it in Yevamos? And Tosfos answers the question and says that there's a difference between establishing protocol and dealing with a situational issue. That's Tosfos. What we'd like to talk about today is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Ha'ara on Tosfos. Asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I don't understand what Tosfos is talking about. Lo zachisi lohavin divreim akdoshim. I was not zochet to understand their holy words. Not Tosfos is wrong, but I was not zochet to understand what they're saying. Why was I not zochet to understand what they're saying? Because seemingly, the two cases are not comparable, right? We've got our case in Gittin, and we have our case in Yevamos. And if the Gemara asked a question in Gittin, it should have asked it in Yevamos as well. Now that is only a good question if the case in Gittin and the case in Yevamos are comparable. Argues Rabbi Akiva Eiger that the two cases are not comparable. Why? Well, in Gittin, the kula can be very easily asili de chomra. Why? Because the husband always has the ability to be ma'arer. She's going to get married based on one aid, and at any point, she is now at the mercy of the husband. If he issues an error, it's going to, at least in the Havamin of the Gemara, it is going to raise doubt about the validity of the get. And therefore, as the Gemara asks, you're not helping her by letting her get remarried based on bad edus. Bad edus is bad edus. She's going to be stuck in the future. However, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in the case in Yevamos, why are we allowing her to get remarried? The reason we're allowing her to get remarried is because Isha midayekes uminsiba. What does that mean, Isha midayekes uminsiba? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you know what that means? It means that when a woman hears testimony from one aid, and then she does her own independent research, she is able to clarify what happened. Just like Adim are a birur, so too an Isha who's midayekes based on the testimony of one aid is a birur. And if you're mevarer what happened, that means that the husband is dead. Lemushel, what happens if two Adim come and testify for the woman that her husband died? Her husband is dead. What happens after two Adim testify her husband's dead, and she goes and gets married, and the husband walks into the room? He obviously was not dead. The two Adim were obviously wrong. Now, is that a possibility? It is a possibility. It's a very far-fetched possibility. It's like a 0.0001%, because in general, the reason we trust two Adim is because we are confident that two Adim are a varer of the MS. So is it possible that he would walk in? Yes. Would we have to deal with that unfortunate situation if he walked in? Yes. But can she get married with full confidence that her husband is dead? Yes, because two Adim are a birur. Unlike what we've spoken about, is what we usually compare to a birur, which is a hanhaga. A hanhaga doesn't tell me what happened. It just tells me what I'm allowed to do. Before I nechtam, from a certain perspective, is a hanhaga. It doesn't tell me that the get was written l'shma. It tells me that I'm allowed to assume that the get was written l'shma. I'm allowed to now go get married. Is the husband allowed to issue a error? He is. Now the truth is that it really is mavara, because we know that the get was written l'shma. And we know that the husband's probably lying. But the din is that when a husband is ma'arer, you need to respond to the husband. And he always has the prerogative to do that. And the woman is always sitting there at the mercy of the husband, from a certain perspective, that he can issue a complaint. He can issue an error. But when it comes to the Gemara in Yevamos and a woman getting remarried based on the testimony of one aid and Isha being Midayekes Uminsiba, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what the Gemara is telling me is that just like two Adim are Mevarer the MS, it's not just a Hanhaga, you're allowed to get married. We don't know if your husband's dead, but you can get married. One aid is also a Birur. One aid with an isha who's midayek esuminsiba is a birur. And therefore, the question of gittin, hey, this kula is going to be asi libe chumra, is not a question in Yevamos. This is not a kula, which is asi libe chumra. This, if you want to even call this a kula, it's not even really a kula. We accept one aid because we know the isha is midayek esuminsiba. We're not being nakil. She has real validity as two witnesses. That one witness is like two witnesses because it's the one witness plus her isha midayek esuminsiba. And therefore, this is not a kula, which is going to be asili de chumra. This will never come to the husband walking in. Just like we would say about two aidim. Even though we know there's a 0.001 chance the husband could walk in, even after two aidim say her husband died. But no one would say, oh, wait a second, maybe you shouldn't accept two witnesses saying her husband died, because maybe one day her husband will walk in and she'll be messed over. We don't say that. Two aidim are a birur. Guess what? One aid with an ishus medayekes is also a birur. And therefore, it's not true that it's going to be asi libe chumra. And this is what Ricky Vager says. Kevan de samchinan al svar de dayik de bailames memela lo shayach shiyavo. It's not shayach that he'll ever come in. Vilo asi lide chumra. And this is not called, quote unquote, asi lide chumra. I think you have to put those quotes in there. This is not a case of asi lide chumra. Veshayni hacha, but here in Gittin, after samchinan da shliach omer emes, even though we do think he's telling the truth, it is a birur, right? The way I said it before was just to help you understand the chiluk here. It is true. Mikol makom shema yavo aval v'ya'ara b'sheker. He might lie, and the halacha requires us to respond to the ear of the baal. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, the question never gets off the ground. The question of just like in Gittin, you should ask, shema asi lidei chumra, you should ask it in Yevamos as well. Doesn't get off the ground because in Yevamos it won't be asi lidei chumra. Some of you in Seder, and I think it was a sharp point, pointed out that there is another semi-chiluk here going on, which is very similar to what we're saying. It's not drawing on the fact that an ishus medayek is a birur, but it's playing on the fact of what will cause the chumra. In the case of Yevamos, the only thing that will cause the chumra is if the husband somehow shows up. And that is not a very likely situation in light of the fact that she's medayek esuminsiba. But in Gittin, what will generate the chumra is completely out of the hands of the woman, and it's within the hands of the husband to be able to do it. See, in the case in Yevamos, it's also out of the hands of the woman, but it's just a question of whether he's alive or not. It's not that someone is sitting there, you know, like this, with the ability to be able to come in or not able to come in. In the case in Gittin, the husband has the prerogative to be able to even lie, meaning, let's say it like this, the husband can't come in unless he's really alive. If he's really dead, he can't show up. In Gittin, even if the get is really not what was really written Lishma, even if the get is really valid, the husband can still come in and lie and cause a problem. So that's also a very big chiluk here. When you have something that's up to, not up to the truth, but it's up to someone's ability to be able to do something and mess you over, you have to be choshish, maybe he'll do that. But when it's a question of the truth, is the person dead or is the person not dead? Well, if the halacha tells me that we can trust that the person's dead, we can trust that the person is dead. This is Rabbi Kivager's question. I'm going to take your question in a second. I just want to finish up this little section, and then I'll take a question. What was Tosfos thinking? Meaning, Rabbi Kivager is making a seemingly very good point. How would Tosfos respond? So in order to be able to understand Machloksim, we've pointed this out before, you always have to sort of take a step back and figure out what is the principle, what is the concept that lies at the core of this Machlokes, and are there different ways to understand that principle? And maybe that's where the Machlokes lies. I saw it quoted, I didn't see it inside, but Rav Moshe Feinstein apparently explained in the Dibros Moshe, and it's a straight svara, that's why I didn't even look it up, because it just makes so much sense. Even if Rav Moshe didn't say it, I think we could say it on our own. in Dibros Moshe, which is, you know, Rav Moshe is famous for his Igros Moshe, even though they say that Rav Moshe was proudest of his Dibros Moshe. He wrote Svarim on Shas, but they are so long. You know, each sugya is tens and tens of pages, and it's got sections and subsections that nobody reads them. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody reads them. Big Talmid Chacham read them. But most people don't have the patience to sit and read through the Dibros Moshe. So the Dibros Moshe became famous. That's what he's more well known for here, for his Shilohs and Tshuvas. But he said that his magnum opus was his Dibros Moshe. So in the Dibros Moshe, Moshe apparently explains, but I think, it's, again, it's a Svara Pshuta to say like this, that it must be that Tosfos is learning that Isha Midayekas Uminsiva is not a Biru. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger here is making an assumption. He says, isn't it Poshit that Isha Midayekas Uminsiva is a Biru? It's like to Aden. It's a Biru that the husband died. What is Tosfos apparently learning? Tosfos is apparently learning that we are overrating, we'll use the term from the other day, overrating the power of Isha Migdayekos Uminsiva. Isha Migdayekos Uminsiva is powerful. It removes, perhaps, her chazaka that she's an Ashes Ish. Maybe there's also a chazaka out there. We generally assume that people are alive, unless you've heard otherwise. People who last you knew that they were, I mean, if you knew that they were alive 300 years ago, so we don't have a chazaka that they're still alive today. But someone that you know was alive a week ago, we're not choshesh and lemisa. We assume that they're still alive today. So he has a cheskas chayim, the husband. He left town. He was alive. He was healthy. He has a cheskas chayim. He didn't come back. You're right. So something is fishy. Could have died. Could have gotten sick. Could have gotten lost. Could have gotten delayed. He could have gotten captive. There's no... See, nowadays it's a little different. Like, why didn't he call? Why didn't he borrow a phone? But back then, there are many, many reasons. So he has a cheskas chayim. So what is Isha Midayekas Uminsiva able to do? It can remove his cheskas chayim. It can remove her chazaka of Eishes Ish. It can allow her to get remarried. It can be a hanhaga to tell us, you're allowed to get married. But it isn't necessarily bumped up to the status of being a birur. It isn't necessarily the same as two Aden. And I would like to suggest that this is really not a machlokas Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Tosfos. This is really a machlokas Ritva Tosfos with in Yevamos with Tosfos in our sugya being lishitaso with Tosfos in Yevamos. If you looked at the Tosfos that I gave you in the brackets, so Tosfos on the page over there in this discussion, Tosfos says an amazing thing. I mean, it's amazing in light of our sugya. Tosfos says on Daf Peches in Yevamos, Mitoch Homer Shech Marta Olel B'Sofa. If you have a Yevamos, open it up. Tosfos towards the bottom of the page. Nira Lari. Remember, whenever Tosfos says don't say something, we know someone says it. In this sugi, we know who says it. V'Nira Lari, D'Lesla L'Meimar Anansade D'Dayek U'Minsava. We're not going to say that there's an Anansade that she's Dayek U'Minsava. V'Neman Eid Echad B'Kach Min HaTorah. And then an Eid Echad is like to Eidim, it's Min HaTorah. Ella, it's a Takanas Chachamim who? The Neman. She's not Neman Midioraisa. It's not an Anan Sahadeh, but Midrabanan, you know what? We'll be Someh on her. And this is not an Iker Akiris Dover Min HaTorah. I know Midioraisa, you need two in this. This is not an Akiris Dover Min HaTorah because it's very likely that she's telling the truth. It's a Dover Hogo, and it makes sense that she's probably Midayekas Uminsiba. Tosos, strong or not so strong? Not so strong. We believe her, but I mean, this is not Midioraisa. This is not Anan Sahadeh. When you're reading this is not Anan Sahadeh. Who do you immediately think of? The Ritva. What does the Ritva say? You should just know. I know they call this Dirabanan. This is not Dirabanan. I mean, the rabbis had a role here, but this is really Dioraisa. This is Anan Sahadeh. The Machlokes Ritva Tosfos and Yevamos is the Machlokes Rabbi Akiva Eiger Tosfos and Gittin. Tosfos and Gittin, like Tosfos and Yevamos, learns that Isha Midayekas Uminsiba is not a birur. It's not super strong. It's an allowance to get married. And therefore, Tosfos rightfully asks, what, Yisrael Meir? Hey, wait a second. This kula is going to be Asi Lidei Chumra. You haven't clarified what happened. This is still an open question. You're going to be Someh on one aid with an Isha Midayekas Uminsiba? That's only Durabanan, it's not Anansade, it's not super strong. You're leaving her open to a possible Chumrah in the future. Comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger after reading the Ritva, And Rabbi Akiva Eger says to Tosfos, what in the world are you talking about? Isha Medayges Uminsiba is an Anansade. It's the Oraisa. It's a Birur. It's like Edim. There's no good future Chumra. The story's done. They're closing the book. Put it on the shelf. It's over. So the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva Eger and Tosfos, is Lishitasa. Tosfos is Lishitasa with Tosfos and Yevamos on the Arsugya. And Rabbi Akiva Eger is following the Ritva. Adkan in terms of this sugya. Now I just want to point out to you that we didn't really do anything very fancy here. It's very geschmack, it works out. All we really did, I just want to, in terms of like methodology for yourselves, we read a Tosfos. Tosfos quoted a Gemara in Yevamos. A little complicated, the Gemara over there. It's a couple of different Adapim, you have to learn through it well. But you could easily have opened up an art scroll, read through the Adapim, understood the Gemara in Yevamos, and did your due diligence, which is just to read the Rishonim. And you've almost understand what's that line. So we saw the Ritva, and there's a Tosfos. There's a Machlokas. Now you come back to our Gemara, you read our Tosfos, you see Rabbi Vayer's question. Immediately, the question you should be asking yourself is, what's the issue here? What's Tosfos is saying, Ishmedekim Suminsiba, not so strong. The Rabbi Akiva Eger saying, what are you talking about? Ishmedekim Suminsiba is very strong. And we realize right away that it parallels the Shittas over there in Yevamos. Okay, questions, yeah.
Why in the case of the woman's going to Yevamos, why is it check for herself? Why in the case of Gideon, in the case of Yevamos, like the same thing, like if, let's say there's a Shvi'ah, like, let's say he's Shvi'ah, so on.
I mean, why don't we introduce into Gittin that the Isha is Medayek Asuminsaba, that the Get is good? So the answer of the Gemara is sort of does say that, but not about the Isha, but about the Shliach, right? What's the answer of the Gemara? The Shliach is Medak Dayek, that same word, Dayek, right? You're saying because he's not going to be the one messed over in the long run.
Yeah.
Right, okay, I hear.
Because, like, if it wasn't messed up,
I would give you a very Balabatish answer, which I would just tell you that I imagine this get didn't come out of nowhere. I imagine that they were fighting, they decided to get divorced, meaning the husband dying, like, came out of nowhere. So she has to clarify, did this really happen or not? But she's expecting a get. Now the question just is, was the get written properly? So if you have a witness that says the get was written properly, so there's nothing fishy. When the husband disappears, something's fishy here. She probably would, if she loved her husband, she probably would prefer that he was just taken captive or that he got lost, right? As opposed to the case of the get, where it's pretty clear what's going on. We just have like the technical issues of I have to make sure the get was written properly. So maybe there's less of a need for her to get involved in the research. Okay? All right. The reason I call that Balabatish answer, meaning it's not like a fundamental like chakira, and it's just like, you know, people think that Balabatish answer is like a dig. It's like pejorative against Balabhata. It's actually not. Saying a Balabhatish answer means that when you learn, you're not supposed to just come in with like, you're supposed to like also think about it. My father is not trained in a yeshiva background. He doesn't have like a real learning background. But whenever I learn Gemara with him, he often, you know, he's a smart guy. He's a PhD from Columbia. He's like a professor. He's a smart person. Often when I learn a sugya with him, he'll just like ask a question, which, like, I'm already like, okay, there's this chakira in the Rishonim, and he's like, wait a second, how is that case possible? What about like this? And it's always like, oh gosh, that's a very good question. Like, I didn't even think of that. You know, a balabatish means just like from straight thinking, there's probably a chiluk here, or there's an explanation without getting into all of like the longus of the sugya. Okay, yeah, other questions. Eitan. You want to know why doesn't he know, like, if Leibowitz figured out a Tosfos Lishitasa in Yevamos, why didn't Rabbi Akiva Eger know that?
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. It's hard to know whether Rabbi Akiva Eger, if these, certainly from the way he writes it, and I know I've been playing this up a lot, Lo Zachisi L'Hovin Divrayim, Hashem Yeir Eini, this is not just like, you know, when the Ravid argues with the Rambam, it's not that he doesn't understand what the Rambam's saying, it's that he disagrees. So this doesn't sound like Rabbi Akiva Eger is just like disagreeing. It sounds like he's saying like, what in the world are you talking about? Tosfos. So you're right. I don't doubt that there could be something very wrong with what I'm saying, or at least that Rabbi Akiva Eiger thought of what I'm saying, and there's something wrong with what we're saying. But Ein L'dayan Ela Mashein Avros. You know, like, we have to learn, like, as best as we can. So we're going to try as best we can to get the answer. I have no doubt that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was sitting here. He might have, like, what to say about this topic. Yeah. Okay.
So, once you say that Midei Agas or Mitzvah is only on the Eham Haga according to Tosfos, so then what's like the therefore now? Like, how does that like tie in?
And therefore, bringing in one witness saying that the husband died, which is not a Birur, it's only on Haga, she's still in a weak place because she doesn't have, you know, if she had two Eidim, so she can rest assured that nothing's ever going to happen to her status. She's able to get remarried. If she only has one witness, and that one witness is only on Haga, it didn't clarify what happened, it's still an open question. She's going to get remarried, but all that time, know that her heter to get remarried was weak and could be undone still. And that's a very ripe place for the Gemara to say, you sure you want to give her a kula like that? It could one day very easily lead to a chumra. For all we know, this one aid could be blown out of the water by another aid showing up, and then we're stuck. And if you believe one aid like two aidim, then if another aid shows up one day, it doesn't matter. But if it's only one aid, so she's at the mercy of what's going to happen in the future.
And what about the whole, like, why are we choshesh for 0.0001%?
Well, it's only 0.001% if one aid is a birur. Because a birur means we're clarifying what happened. Your husband is dead. And therefore, there's no chance it's coming. Oh, there is a chance, 0.001. But if the pshat is, which what we're saying Tosis is holding, that one aid coming in and saying the husband died is not a birur. It's not telling us that he died. It's telling us that there's enough of a chance that he died, maybe 60%, that you can get married based on that, if you want it.